I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories. Hi, my name is Anna, also known as the Spiritual Midwife, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a midwife and a childbirth educator, and I assist women in optimizing their chances of having an empowering and natural birth experience and a nourishing and healing postpartum. I offer holistic birth preparation and postpartum online courses worldwide for the conscious mama wanting to prepare emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually for her birth and for her postpartum. And if you want to know more about me and what I do in the world, then visit me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com. If you had a natural and empowering birth experience that you would like to share with the world, then you can email me at annathespiritualmidwife@gmail.com, and maybe your story will be featured on the Natural Birth Podcast. Now let's dive into today's episode. Today on the Natural Birth Podcast, we have Renat. Renat is a mum of one, living with her husband and son in the Northern Rivers, New South Wales, Australia. She's an ex-telco marketer, and now she's lobbying and volunteering in stopping the 5G rollout in the Byron Shire, and to work with the community on strategies to envision a future with safe technology. Today, we are diving into her natural birth story that took place in Switzerland in a homeopathic hospital. It's quite a unique story to be birthing in a homeopathic hospital, and Renat has some very special advice in regards to how you can prevent tearing during birth. We also talk about the desire to bond with your baby already in your belly during pregnancy. And I mentioned the Bonding with Baby meditation resource that I have for you on YouTube. You can access that via the podcast episode description. Curious about Renat? Find her on Instagram as We Are Not Sam. Hi, and welcome, Renat. I'm so excited to have you here. How are you today?
I'm very well. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, it's so exciting. I know you do such amazing work in the world with the sustainability of technology, and I'm so impressed by you. And now I'm so glad that we finally hear your natural birth story.
Oh, I'm so happy to share it. I can't wait.
Yay. So let's dive into it. Hey, I just want to go straight in. I want to know and tell us all, how did you know that you were in labor? How was the early signs for you?
Well, interestingly, I woke up, it was around 7 a.m., and one of my best girlfriends had sent me a text message saying, I had a dream that your water broke and today was the day. And I was 40 weeks and 2 days, and I stood up out of bed after reading that message and laughed, and then I just started feeling my water coming down.
No way.
Yeah, so I felt like my sign came from a very connected relationship.
Wow, from a dream from a friend. How amazing.
That's how it happens sometimes,
isn't
it?
Intuition of women, hey?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So tell us more. What happened then? So your waters were leaking. What did you do?
And at this point, my husband was sleeping and I woke him up and he didn't think anything was serious and I just looked at him and I said, I'm pretty sure today we're going to have a baby. And he just jumped out of the bed And I just remember that moment of us both looking at each other and thinking, oh my gosh, this is a life-changing moment we're about to enter. And it was a moment of silence. And I remember feeling like there was no pain, but there was this feeling of everything that we've prepared for, we have to put into practice today.
Mm.
And it just, it was an interesting moment because we had had a letterbox drop saying that we were going to have like a carnival on our street and that the roads would be closed from 1 p.m. till around 8 p.m. So the first moment of breaking the silence was, we've got to get out of the carnival. Like, we've got to get out before the carnival starts. Right.
Because so everybody knows, you were living in what country?
In Switzerland.
Right.
So we were in Switzerland and our hospital was only a 5-minute drive away.
Mm.
But at the time, we already like switched our brains into, oh, we've got to make a plan to get to the hospital before
it all closes.
It all closes. Right. Yeah.
So at this point, when you stand up and the waters have broken, do you have contractions at this point?
No, I had no contractions. And my water was leaking very slowly. It wasn't in sort of that one big splash that a lot of people see in, on television. So I felt like, oh, there's, you know, a little bit here and a little bit there throughout the day. And I didn't really have any contractions until we decided to drive to the hospital. And at that point, it was quite funny because they were setting up for carnival. So I felt like they were celebrating my birth. There was all this excitement in the air and there's all these little pompons and all this other stuff around. So it was a nice little standing ovation for the moment.
Well, that's so cute. So how many hours was that? You woke up in the morning, the waters were leaking, but you didn't really feel anything. Did you have any kind of period pain, any kind of sensation? None, I think.
No.
And how many hours before you decided, oh, we should probably go to the hospital and get checked out?
It was around 3 hours after. We'd called my midwife. I had a private midwife. And she was monitoring how I was tracking, what I was feeling. And then around 10:30 p.m., we decided to make the drive to the hospital. And she met us there with my obstetrician. And it was a homeopathic hospital. It's a homeopathic clinic. I shouldn't say hospital, really. But we went inside and she firstly said to me, have you been having any contractions? And I said, no. And at that point, she asked me to do two things. The first thing was to take an enema, which would clear my stomach. And she also gave me some homeopathic remedies to bring on some contractions.
Mm-hmm.
And once I had that, I went for a walk with my mum and my husband sort of around the clinic. And when I got back, the contractions started and they were 3 minutes apart.
Wow.
So they start when they started.
They just started.
They really kept they kept themselves going. And it was like that until, so 3 minutes apart for the first probably around 5 hours and then about a minute and a half apart till the end.
Wow.
So all up around, I would say 9 hours.
From the first contraction.
From the first contraction.
In the center.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, beautiful. So walk us through like the early labor hours. How did you cope? What did you do? What made you feel like you were in control or feeling like it was all natural and normal?
I'd done a birthing course with my husband and there was some really incredible breathing techniques. And I remember them sounding quite strange because my husband would laugh every time I practiced them. But I thought in reality, when I would practice them, that my husband would be very understanding, but instead he kept laughing during the contractions. And I remember my midwife just pulling him outside and just getting him back in line, you know, and he never laughed again after that. And he saw that what I was doing was really trying to use my breathing to let go of the pain and not hold it in a stressful way. You know, like most people, when they're stressed, they tighten up. And my midwife was just reminding me to let the noise and the breathing just let that contraction go and flow. And I felt that was, for me, such a such an important aspect of labor, because I felt the majority of my pain in my back. So that was where I was trying to breathe through that pain. And I had a lot of massaging done from my midwife and my husband and my mum. I felt like they were all taking rotations to take care of me. And it was the thing that kept me going the most, that touch, the safety net, the breathing. And I spent a lot of time in the water. So they did do a water birth for me, but I did come out of that towards the end and I gave birth on a bed, sort of downward position.
Mm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Did you ever come to a point where you were feeling that kind of transition phase, maybe a bit of crisis of confidence experience? Can you tell us about
that? Yeah, I remember at one point my brain just switched to, how long is this going to go? Like, I couldn't quite grasp the time and couldn't understand how long this has been going. And because the contractions were so close together, I felt like there was no time for conversation. Mm. It was really just focusing. And I remember thinking and looking at my mum specifically and asking her, "Mum, I don't know, can I keep doing this? I'm in so much pain." And just the confidence in her and the confidence in my midwife, there was never a moment where I felt I needed to worry or that I couldn't do this. And I kept being reinforced and reminded about the amazing potential of the human body. And I felt like I had already my vision board around me in the room. They asked me to prepare some images and I had some crystals and essential oils around. And I felt like I could focus on those images, and the lighting was salt lamps, and I felt like the environment was accommodating towards this birthing process. I didn't feel like I was in a clinical, hospital, so to speak, experience.
Yeah.
I felt very intimate, and it felt very intimate and very feminine.
Mm. It sounds really nurturing. It sounds like you really had all the components. You had done a lot of preparation, it sounds like, and your partner had, and all the people in your space trusted birth and trusted the process, which is so important. So you felt really safe with the people in the room, and the room was conducive for birthing as well. Sounds amazing. So tell us more. So how did you go through that? Was that only, the only thing you needed was your mother and kind of the people around you reassuring you? Was that what kind of got you through the transition time of that kind of feeling a bit?
I feel like I spent a lot of time before birth envisaging this moment. I feel I did a lot of hypnobirthing and meditations, and I became so confident in my body's ability to do it. And I had a lot of people at the time sort of share with me their scary birth stories. Oh my gosh, you poor thing, you know what happened to me, you know what happened to my sister, you know what happened to my et cetera, et cetera. And I remember being really conscious about not allowing that to interfere with how I was envisaging my birth experience, because I feel like we are shown a specific narrative in Hollywood, particularly, where the woman comes into the hospital, her husband is rolling her on a wheelchair, she's screaming, "Give me the epidural." Mm. And throughout the entire birthing process, she continues to scream until the baby is born. Mm. And I remember thinking, that can't be the way in which women have been going through birth for centuries. Mm. I couldn't fathom how this had become a mainstream narrative. So I was really conscious that anything that spoke to that level of a narrative, that I was sort of focusing more on that ancient, supportive midwife and doula type energy so that I would have that experience. And I feel like there's that saying that what you believe you shall see, and not, what you see is what you believe. Yeah. So I feel like I went through the process of really believing in something so much that it came to fruition. And I believe for a lot of women out there, especially first time mothers, there is not enough encouragement into a beautiful process of birth. Yeah. I feel like they are constantly bombarded with scary stories and it sort of fuels their doubts about the process.
Absolutely, totally agree. And this is one of the reasons why we're sitting here right now, to change the narrative, to give an alternative for women who do want to hear about natural and empowering and positive birth stories. I'm so grateful for you and sharing this with you. So please tell me more about the birth now. So you're going through transitions. What's happening next?
So I was in the water and my midwife and obstetrician were super calm and they just asked me quietly to step out of the bath, and we transitioned onto this bed that sort of looked like it had steps in it so that I could work around the bed in whichever way I wanted rather than just legs up or in one style or a position. And I was sort of pushing like sort of downwards, you know, there was no legs up. There was all my legs were going down. It was like the bed was on an angle. Mm. And at the time,
it was like squatting. Is that what you're doing?
So it's just leaning back.
Yeah.
And the bed is like a step. So my feet are not up.
My feet are lower. Yeah.
That's
so
right.
It sounds a bit semi-recumbent / squatting position. Yeah.
Yeah, correct. And they were encouraging me to push, and what I found out later was that the cord was stuck around my son's neck.
Right.
But they never made that an issue for me, and they never worried me about it. And I learned later that my midwife had said to me that somewhere around 40% of babies are born with the cord around their neck, and that in most cases it's nothing to worry about. So she did resuscitate him after he was born, and I didn't even notice. I never even realized. But in the moment, I'll just take a step back. I remember my husband and I having these conversations whereby he said, oh, I don't think I'm going to watch the birthing process, I'll stay on your side. And I said, yeah, whatever works. And my mum was in the room, and at that point when the head was coming forward, she just looked at my husband Chris and said, you'll regret it if you don't watch this. And he just went, he was holding my hand, but he moved himself around and he watched the whole process. And he, till this day, feels like that was a life-changing moment for him in terms of how he views life, but also how he views me and also how he views his own child. So it was a really magical moment. And in that moment of pushing, I remember this feeling of such relief when it was out. It was like the whole body had just gone into some metamorphosis. Like it was a new type of life experience having birthed. And I realized in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women, and how amazing and inspiring it is to have had a natural birth. And also, there was no screaming, there was no, you know, sort of that mainstream narrative, I guess, what we talked about. But I remember in the moment where I held him, the first thing I looked at was, oh, my God, he has a face. It's just, you know that you've got a baby in there, but when you see they have a face and they've got these cute little, you know, eyes and nose, and you're looking at all the toes and the fingers, and you're like, it's a real life in here. And out here.
Yeah.
And that was a really huge moment. And I remember thinking, I mean, I held him straight away and he went straight for my nipple, like just latched on. And
you're so clever.
Yeah. And I left and I did give birth to the placenta as well. And I left the placenta connected to him for a few hours until the beating had stopped, and I prepared a bottle of acetone so that we could take a portion of the placenta to create homeopathic remedies, because I was giving birth at a homeopathic clinic.
Amazing.
And till this day, because it has all that information from
the
him
DNA,
and that's right, all the DNA and that strong immune building energy, whenever he's unwell, we give him a few of those homeopathic pills, and it's not often that he's unwell, but it's just nice and comforting to know that you have a piece of your birth in homeopathic remedies.
Wow.
Yeah.
How gorgeous. Can we dial back and just, do you remember the feeling? So when you were bearing down during the birthing process, did you use sound? Did you use breath? Did you use mental focus? What did you do to kind of, you know, focus downward and get the baby?
I used a lot of sound, but again, not a screaming sound, but more of a grunt, like a like this kind of
down.
Almost like a but a really deep one. And it was just grounding. It was a real grounding tone. And I remember feeling in that moment that my body was allowing me to to process this moment. So I felt complete trust, and I was holding the hand on one side with my mom and then on the other side with my husband. And then at one point, the midwife swapped positions with my mom, and mm-hmm. she held my hand, and the obstetrician was there with the birth. And I just felt very supported because I had worked so closely with my midwife and my obstetrician throughout my entire journey. They were such an integral part of my relationship building. I never felt for a moment that anybody that I didn't know would walk in. It was so intimate, and there was no interruption whatsoever. And I feel like that's a really important part of birth, is that a lot of people feel like their birth is being interrupted by new people coming in and out, or I just felt they were present the whole time. And I never wondered where I was or who was taking care of me. It was so nurturing the whole way through.
Mm.
And I feel like that plays a huge role in the natural birth experience.
Yes.
When you're not fed any information that gives you doubt, but also you have the confidence of the people that have been your team for the entire pregnancy.
It's so important in birth to feel safe, and can't emphasize that enough. And that's what all the evidence-based studies shows us, that actually continuity of care of a known caregiver, which, you know, could be a midwife or an obstetrician or a team, but this is actually what's really needed and what shows the best outcomes for women. And of course, this is the most vulnerable and also powerful event of your life, and it's so important to feel safe as you're opening 10 centimeters and you're so vulnerable and open. So yeah, beautiful that you said that, and that became, you know, something that you brought to this interview.
Yeah.
So tell me more. So you go skin to skin with your little baby, and what happens?
It's just, I read so many books, I'd heard so many stories about that moment, you know, that moment of holding your child and connecting. And it was above and beyond anything I had read or been told. It's looking at your life, and I guess it's, how can I even explain it in words? It's, love can be so hard to explain sometimes, but it's looking at a creation and knowing that all the love you have in this world, you're going to give to this little child. Mm. And it just reaffirms existence for me. Like, why I'm even here had changed my narrative for why I existed, had somehow had a new dimension to it. And I remember seeing my husband after a few hours of me holding him, and then my husband did the cutting of the cord. Mm. And at that point, the midwife offered him to hold his child. You know, he'd watched for 3 hours me connecting. Mm. And he had never been somebody that was sort of drawn to our friends' children. You know, he wasn't somebody that said, oh, come here, you know, and playing around. Mm. So for him, it was really a life-changing moment too, when he held his child and felt this incredible connection. And looking at that photo of him holding Noah for the first time, I think that's one of my absolute favorite photos of ever, because they are best friends. And that started the moment he held him. It was just, that was it for my husband. It was, you know, every doubt that he had about whether or not he could do it just was overridden by the amount of love he felt for his little boy.
Mm.
And that's what life about, you know, this is what parenting is about. It's about how you keep going when you don't really know what you're doing. Mm. And I feel like most people think that once you're a parent, you know what to do, you know, even after the birthing process, that you should just know how things go.
Yeah.
And when we're so honest with ourselves, it's because we're vulnerable and because we're open that we can do the best that we can.
Yeah.
And that's what parenting is always about. It's about doing the best that we can, but it's not always going to be what everybody else thinks is, you know, appropriate or not. But I always feel like when you can relate to another parent who may be going through a struggle or going through, I guess it's just really about saying, the me too, like I understand you. Mm. And a lot of the birthing process and the comfort and the safety had to do with that level of somebody understanding what you're going through. Because in the moment you wonder if this is only you feeling these things or questioning yourself if you can do it. Mm. And when your midwife or your mom or your obstetrician remind you that you are in a safe place of many women going through this beautiful birthing experience, you feel that safety net, that you've got the generations of women before you that are holding you in that moment. And it's pretty powerful because you do get that sense when you're in it.
Yeah, especially if people are holding that space around you and just going, it's all normal. Yes, you know, it's intense. And yes, you know, most women will have that crisis of confidence where, you know, everyone reacts differently. Some people actually like pack their bags and wants to leave. Like everyone's very different in how they react during that time. And so you really need those really strong support people to remind you, it's all normal right now. This is a part of it. You're probably really close to birth right now. That's why you're feeling like this. Just trust your body and trust birth.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I think the other thing is to also, I feel like there's not enough emphasis on the role of the husband. And it's sort of, I feel like maybe if there was one thing I could have done differently, and I believe birthing courses do cater more to the women, to how the man supports the woman, but there needs to be a little bit more of a conversation of how the men can be supported in that moment, because they're overwhelmed and they're not going through the birth and they're feeling a little helpless and uncertain. And I feel like when a woman is in a room, oftentimes with her husband, and she can see this, he doesn't know what's happening and he doesn't understand what's going on. I feel like that can open a lot of, I guess it would just be really nice for a lot of men to have more confidence in that experience.
100%.
And rather than confidence in supporting a woman, the confidence in themselves and how to be a support giver in that experience. And luckily for me, my husband went through sort of the ups and downs of knowing what to do and not knowing what to do, and in the end just completely came through. But if there was more of an emphasis on his role and the confidence given to him, I feel that that could really improve the process for a lot of women. And yeah, just from my own experience,
I love that you bring this to the surface, because this is such an important topic. As a midwife, I see this a lot. There are some beautiful men out there who have done a lot of preparation and are beautiful support people. One of my first ever births, a home birth, in a water birth, the man was like, her partner was like the best midwife. We all just stood, you know, back, and he did most of the caring and supporting and everything. So men can, and partners if it's not a man, but partners, support people, has a crucial role in the birth space. And as you say, most of them have never seen a birth. And so just as the woman, a first-time mom who most likely hasn't seen a birth, both need that kind of, you know, understanding the birth process, knowing how they can, well, support, he can or she can support the woman in labor. But then also, that's one of the things that I agree upon. I, you know, in the natural birth course, I have a lesson just for partners about how they can feel safe and secure and how they, you know, what's important for them throughout the labor and birth. As well as, you know, doulas have a great support. You know, they can be a great support both for the partner and for the mother birthing.
Do you want a natural birth, mama? Then the natural birth course might be for you. Do you see birth as a rite of passage and an important and transformational event that you'd like to feel fully empowered in meeting? Are you, like many other women, realizing that it is time to take back your power as a birthing woman in the birth space and birth your baby your way? Would you like to feel calm and confident as you birth your baby with all the tools you need in order to meet the labor sensations naturally and be ready, body, mind, and soul? Do you deeply down know that your body was made to birth your baby and that you have all the inherent power and inner wisdom to do so? Are you looking for holistic midwifery wisdom and guidance to assist you and give you all the evidence-based information you need in order to feel fully sovereign in your decision-making around your pregnancy and upcoming birth? Then the Natural Birth Course is for you. Find out more at thenaturalbirthcourse.com.
Yeah, and I think this is what it really comes down to, is I strongly believe that the natural birth process is heavily tied with a strong support network. Mm. And where I have seen women struggle through birth, the underlining thread is the support, mm. and that there was limited amount or it was very disjointed. So I feel like the best advice I could give a mum going through or wanting to go through a natural birth is to be so certain that the people in the room are 100% supportive of her vision of mm. a birth and are supportive through the entire process, even when she has her moments of doubt or she can't feel like she can't do it anymore. And that is such a natural part of birth. And I feel like women don't talk enough about even natural yes. births. We all go through that moment where we go, can I keep going?
Yeah.
And if that support network is there and you know that they're the ones that are going to cheer you till the finish line, I feel like this is the biggest win in natural birthing.
Yeah. I want to dial down to something you said, that, you know, your baby had the nuchal cord, had the cord around the neck, and you said that the midwife needed to do a bit of recess, but you didn't even notice it. Can you just tell me, what did that look like? So what happened? The baby was born, was that born into the obstetrician's hands? Or okay, yeah.
Yes, it was born into the obstetrician's hands, and then my midwife went around and she put like this really tiny tube. I hadn't seen it because, as I said, I was sort of downward, but I leaned backwards after I'd done that mm-hmm. final push. And as I leaned up, I could just see the midwife was holding my little boy and bringing him to me. And he was a little bit on that sort of bluish color side. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even notice that she had done that. And only the next day did she tell me.
Okay.
And I mean, my mum saw it and my husband saw it, but just to keep me calm and understanding that this process was exactly how it was meant to be, and yeah. I was connecting,
yeah.
the baby was breathing, he was breastfeeding, he was, you know, he weighed 3.41 kilo, he was 55 centimeters, and everything
he
just
was
looked
tall.
Yeah, he's a tall boy. And he just, he was doing great. And the next day it was just about filling in the gaps. And I just remember thinking that I felt safe the entire time. And I feel like if I had known that they were monitoring and there was something, you know, sort of, there was a reason they would pull me out of the bath to get me to push, I feel the stress of that moment could have gotten the better of me. But it was never mentioned because it wouldn't have made a difference anyways.
Exactly.
If we're being honest, I would have still had to push. And they held the vision. And that's the point of this. It's like, you have the vision of a natural birth, but because they also do, it's a collective energy of a natural birth and not just one person's desire, which I've seen many times over. I've seen conversations where girlfriends have spoken to the obstetrician and before, weeks in advance of any birth, they've already proposed a cesarean.
Oh.
So the sort of that seed of doubt was perhaps planted in the woman for, you know, maybe the baby was too big or the baby had was in breach. And the doubts, I mean, my baby was in breach until the, you know, the last week.
Beautiful.
And it was never considered for a moment.
So how many weeks were you when you did go into labor?
I was 40 weeks and 2 days.
So 39 weeks, you're still breech. Yeah, so that's beautiful to know, because this is, again, a lot of women need to understand that there's not one policy and guideline all over the world in every country about how things are done. So each country has different policies and guidelines, like overarching. You have different hospitals having different care providers have it different. And so it's really up to you to make your own informed decisions and choose your care provider carefully that will hold that vision that you have and will support you in whatever you decide. So yeah, in, you know, Australia, if you were breech around 36 weeks, they would talk about, you know, doing a called ECV, turning baby, and there would be a discussion around how to manage this. Whereas in Switzerland, it sounds like it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. And I had a birth plan. I remember a girlfriend sending me a PDF and I printed it out and it had every question possible for birth and what it is that I envisaged about the process. And I remember just going through every single question with my husband and sending it to my obstetrician and my midwife, and they read it and they said, this is exactly how we're going to do it.
Oh, wow. Beautiful.
So it was putting a plan in place. It was more than just a vision in your mind. It was putting pen to paper and saying, this is what I'm committed to. My husband and I, not just me, my husband and I did this together. And this is what, you know, we, I should say, are committed to. And that was a big part of our journey, because a lot of the time the men, you know, feel rushed by doctors to make decisions for the partner or whatever it might be. But if they're on the same page and they have a clear plan, husband and wife, and the midwife and the obstetrician have that plan, everybody works towards the same vision. And that's the key part of a harmonious energy, is that everybody knows, you know, what that woman wants to feel.
So back to the research, did she tell you what she did? Because it doesn't sound like she did much, like it wasn't a big thing. So did she tell you what she actually did?
In terms of resuscitating?
Yeah.
No, she didn't go into too much detail other than, you know, the fact that she did put a little tube down there to free up some air.
Yeah.
And she said it took less than 20 seconds.
Yeah. So it sounds to me like she just did a little bit of suction, probably in the nose or in the mouth, and could just be to stimulate baby, because maybe baby came out a bit stunned. It's quite normal that a baby is not pink. And you know, when it comes out, a lot of babies come out and just takes a minute before they start breathing. So, usually what we do then is just do a bit of stimulation. In Australia, we don't do suction, but just a bit of stimulation and see if baby picks up. We feel the cord, is it pulsating? And not until, you know, if baby's super flat, maybe there's a different reaction. But if it's just a little bit bluish and just needs a bit of stimulation, and usually most babies do, it's only around maybe 10% that actually need some actual help breathing. And it didn't sound like your baby needed that, just a little bit of stimulation.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That's probably exactly right. And I remember the placenta, my midwife, she had come to me to show me the placenta, where the baby, I mean, it just brings the whole story together. And she pulled it inside and out and explained that this was in your body and this is where your baby, you know, was getting nutrients and all that. She showed me the whole process, what was happening internally. And that was a really big moment for me, because I think I perhaps underestimated the placenta.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Even though I had been, you know, I've been reading about it, I've been told about it, and it, I just felt like that was so secondary to the baby that I didn't realize how much of an importance that that space was held for my child. It was created for that child. And what she did was she put the placenta on paper and created this flower artistic image that we still have today framed. And it's just a beautiful piece. It's, it just goes to show, it's like the flowering of life. And that was a really beautiful moment when she did that, because it made the appreciation for the body and the experience that much more.
It deepens it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I feel like the placenta is often sort of
discarded
in a way, like they
a lot of people just
and that whole idea of disconnecting the baby so that that part can go, it sort of doesn't get enough of attention to the role that it played. And I feel like the role of the mother is important, the role of the placenta, and you know, the baby having pushed itself through that process, I feel like it goes together in the storyline.
Yeah. So you have a print from it, you have a little tincture from it with the homeopathic remedy. Did you have anything else? Did you do anything else with your placenta?
No, that was it. We had a choice whether to do sort of that cord cutting much earlier to get those I think people like eat their placentas.
Some do.
Yeah.
Or dehydrate it or bury it.
That's right. I know there's so many ways you can work with your placenta, but for us that was, for us that was the most appealing, was
the tincture.
The tincture, yeah. Because I felt like it was the continuation of the frequency of that placenta and the health. So for us, that's the decision that we made. And ever since we told people that we did that, it was overwhelming how many others had asked us for the details, where they can do it. And yeah, that was really nice to be able to share that with new mothers and say, if you choose to do that, here are the details. So it was a beautiful moment. It was a beautiful moment to take a piece of that and to keep it with you.
Beautiful. So I would love to know, is there anything that you wish that you had known that you didn't know, but that you now know after going through labor and birth, that you would like the first time mama who's listening to this, that she would know?
I feel like what I didn't know and what I wish I had done more was speak to my baby.
Beautiful.
That's not really to do with knowing the sex of the baby or any of that stuff. It's just more, I felt that maybe I left it too late to connect. Like I maybe in my mind I was, when they're born, I'll connect. But I felt the I had a great pregnancy and I never had any issues. And I feel like that just kept me going sort of like normal. And I did meditate and I did do hypnobirthing, but I still feel to this day that I didn't connect. Like I could have done more. And I feel like the second time around when my husband and I decide to have another child, it would be a lot more connecting than, because now that you have a child, you realize how connected you are, but I underestimated how soon, how much earlier the connection actually starts.
Absolutely.
So I think my point would be that, yeah, just to find a way to connect and to feel and to engage with, you know, the growing element of the baby rather than the finale.
Yeah. Oh, I so agree. And as midwives, we know that the best fetal well-being insurance is a mama who's finally in tune with her baby. And that's why one of the first meditations I ever created is bonding with baby meditation. And I'll link it down this podcast as well, because it's a free meditation you can access on my YouTube. And I so agree, because this is so vital and it really sets you up. It sets you up for having this deep connection and yeah, getting this beautiful creation of your bond already created in utero. I love that. And can I also ask you, what is the number one? I mean, I know we've talked a lot about different, you know, what's really important for first-time mamas and before you have your labor and birth. But if you could pick one of the most important things you would say to a mama right now, preparing for her labor and birth, what's the number one thing that you would suggest she would do?
This is going to sound really strange. I know this already, because I can just sense a lot of people going to just be like, what did she just say? But the thing that helped me through labor and birth, and I promise you, I have had so many girlfriends ever since use this particular technique, is I was given advice from my midwife at around 37 weeks, I believe it was, to start doing what's called epino.
Right.
And that is sort of like, I guess the best way to describe it is like pumping a balloon.
To stretch your perineum.
That's right, your perineum. And at the time I thought, she said, you'll get to around 8 centimeters, but it would be great if you could get to 10. And I remember pumping it to 8 centimeters going, I'm supposed to pump that size of a balloon inside of my vagina. And I started slowly and I started feeling the muscles just really reacting well. And then I did get to 8 centimeters and I only managed to get to 9, which, I mean, only. It's not really only.
That's incredible.
I managed to get to 9. But I remember when the birth did happen, I didn't struggle through that head experience. And she'd had so much experience with epino. And my son was born with the most perfect shaped head. And it was one of the first things that I even noticed after I looked at his beautiful face. But I was like, his head is just so perfect and shaped. And I think it also, you know, it it doesn't allow for too much tearing, I believe. I'm not a midwife, but that was sort of how it was explained to me. Mm. And I just felt that really helped me even imagine the feeling a little bit of what my muscles would need to do internally. Mm. So if women are listening to this and wondering whether they can do it, I was in the exact same boat. I thought it was a very strange concept, but this has been around for so long in Germany, and it's something that they still lean on. And I've had many girlfriends ever since listen to my advice on that particular idea, and all had amazing head birth experience. So it's something that most people don't want to talk about, but I feel like it's an important part.
It's very important, and it's a part. It's something that I always tell women to do, not particularly the epinoid, even though I know about it, because obviously, you know, not everyone has the money to maybe buy that, but you can do perineal massage, and that's something you can do yourself or your partner can help you. And it's something I recommend women to do somewhere from 34 to 36 weeks, starting to do every day to stretch their perineal tissues. Obviously, there's so much more than just stretching. You need to have good hydration and nutrition. But stretching your perineum doesn't only stretch tissue, which helps obviously to prevent tearing and just increase the elasticity and the room that the baby can navigate, but also helps you rewire your neural pathway. So when you feel the burning and stretching sensation that you did probably with the Epino, and that you can do with your partner or yourself just doing the perineal massage, you actually can focus on breathing and relaxing. And so when you do crown, you know, you have the baby's head crowning, you know that feeling. It's much more intense, obviously, when you're birthing, but you know and you recognize the feeling. You go, this is when I need to relax now. Because a lot of women, again, feeling pain, your natural reaction is tension. And if you're clenching, well, the baby is going to come out. And if you work against it, if you tense your muscles, they can't stretch. And so they might tear, don't they? So I love that you brought that up. I love that you brought up the perineal stretching techniques.
Yeah, it was absolutely how you described. It was something that felt familiar and my body knew how to breathe through it. And it is a lot to do with birthing, is a lot to do with what you have experienced before the birth.
Yes.
It's not just what you're experiencing during the birth. And those familiarities of things that you've done to lead up to the birth start to play a huge role in the moment. Yeah. And that for me was a very, like that description you just made was absolutely perfect. It is preparation.
Mm. Yeah, preparation is key, hey?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Do you have anything else that you would like to share about anything from your birth, anything that you would like mamas to know who really want to optimize their chances of having a natural birth?
I have one last thing that I would really recommend, and that is to one of the things that I did, and I know that it helped so many other women, is connect to a group of mamas who had natural births. And whether that's a Facebook page or any type of, you know, community that's, you know, meeting or first-time mamas, whoever wants to have that natural birth experience or have had that natural birth experience, I feel offers so much support.
Yeah.
And that was a really big support network for me. I didn't know anyone personally in my particular Facebook group of natural mums giving birth, but I remember all those lovely conversations, and they were positive and they were reinforcing all these different aspects of what we talked about today. So coming full circle in terms of understanding that the support you give yourself before birth, the support you give yourself during birth and after birth is the most crucial part of this transition into motherhood.
Yeah, totally. We're not islands. We are so pack animals, and it so does influence us so much. Who we hang out with, who we talk to, who we get inspired by. Yeah, you're so right. Thank you so much for sharing your birth story.
Thank you, Anna.
And I can't wait for you to get pregnant again and come back and tell us how that went.
Me too.
Let us know. All right. Thank you so much, honey. Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please share it.
grade it on iTunes and leave a comment. If you want to connect on social media, you can find me on Facebook as The Spiritual Midwife or on Instagram as the_spiritual_midwife. Thank you for listening.